Yes, welcome to The Pick. We will ask people what they're reading, watching, listening to in relation to our particular brief here on Saturday Extra, which is, broadly speaking, forces at play in international relations. And two guests are with me today. Brian Toohey is a journalist and the author most recently of Secret, The Making of Australia's Security State. And Catherine Manstead is Senior Advisor for Public Policy at the National Security College in Canberra. And she researches the effect of cyber technologies on democracy. Welcome to you both.
Great to be here.
Now, Brian, you've been busy writing your book, but not too busy to read. And your first recommendation is Pachinko, a novel by Min Jin Lee. Now, this follows the fortunes of a Korean family during the Japanese occupation of Korea. It's been compared, I noticed, to Tolstoy and to John Galsworthy's books in the way it marries the personal and the political. What made you pick up this book?
Well, I found the detailed depiction of the lives of individual people a very disturbing background to my chapter on the depravity of the Korean War. I mean, I think the thing is that she is really focused on developing the characters and what was happening in Korea, which is dreadful, from under Japanese occupation, and then what was happening to the Koreans that then taken or went to Japan. But it's not a political book. It's very much a novel.
So but the personalities just become a representation of something broader in its own way.
I think that's fair enough. I mean, the echo for me was what I was writing in a chapter on the depravity of the Korean War, where the US, and I don't think this is very well known in Australia, used napalm and conventional explosives to burn or destroy every city, town and village in North Korea. And Australian Mustang fighters helped drop napalm. Although the UN's goal of pushing the North Koreans back behind the 38th parallel was quickly achieved, the US extended this barbaric attack on North Korea for almost another 2 years. Even Douglas MacArthur, who I don't think you could describe as a lily-livered pacifist, said in 1951 that he vomited when he saw what was happening, saying the US was perpetrating a slaughter such as I have never seen in the history of mankind.
Now, you've selected two others. One is non-fiction, The Team, by Ian McNeil. It's about the team of Australian soldiers sent to Vietnam in 1962. And over the years, there have been hundreds of books written about Vietnam. I wondered why this one.
Well, this one, which was published in 1984, I think is just an outstanding account of this very particular thing, this small group of Australian Army officers who sent there initially on a training mission. That was in 1962. We didn't commit to the battalions until 65 and afterwards. And what comes out of this, for me, is Ian McNeil doesn't try and say, look, we could have won the war if we'd have done it another way. Instead, he argues that there was no way to win the war from the side we were on, because the ultimate defeat of the South Vietnam forces and their foreign allies arose from the way that the North, under, in his words, the leadership of the venerated Ho Chi Minh, had a better claim to represent the aspirations of all Vietnamese. He also said that it's well to remember that the Civil War required the willingness of brother to kill brother and sister to kill sister. And he commented, in such circumstances, a lack of will would seem to be a virtue. These conclusions are reflected in my chapter called Vietnam Stopping the Election and Losing an Unnecessary War, whereas another chapter draws on a documentary series on SBS in 2016, where members of this team, they're obviously fairly old now, give a disturbing account of their revulsion at the unfolding horrors. Many of these never abandoned their humanity or their sense of decency, a response that Australians should commend, in contrast to the alleged appalling behaviour of some of the Special Forces troops in Afghanistan.
Well, of course, there were four Victoria Crosses awarded, weren't there? And many other awards distinguished that team. So I think you suggest it's possibly the most highly decorated unit for its size in the history of the Australian Army.
Well, possibly, but they weren't sent there initially to take part in combat. They were training mainly those hill tribes, people to try and you know, fight the North, but they also didn't like the South, so it made it all a bit complicated.
Yeah, that's that great story about the behind-the-scenes intelligence. I've read parts of that elsewhere. And look, finally, you've chosen an interesting one, and that's what we hope will come out in this. But Barbara Kingsolver's Poisonwood Bible, which tracks the story of a missionary family in the Congo. Now, how does that relate, in a way, to a broader understanding of the world?
Well, it has an echo in my chapter on American interventions around the world, malign interventions around the world against various governments. In this case, the missionary family moved there in 1959, and then, not long after, the Americans decided they wanted to get rid of the first elected prime minister, and they did, initially by trying to poison him, but they forgot that putting poison in toothpaste, but they didn't use toothpaste in Congo. So he was killed anyway by other people that the Americans were supporting. And then what ushered in was the most horrific behaviour, most horrific result of this foreign interference, and that was the takeover by a brutal and truly corrupt dictator, Joseph Mobutu, who ruled for over 30 years. And he ranks easily as one of the worst monsters of the 20th century, rivaling Hitler, Stalin and Mao.
Mm. Okay, now, Catherine, you've gone down quite a different track. You're recommending AI Superpowers by Kai-Fu Lee. Now, what's this about?
Well, this is a fantastic book, Geraldine, because it, to me, kind of helps us unpack a lot of the drivers behind US-China relations at the moment, and also the transformative power of artificial intelligence and big data and all of these technological things we hear about in news headlines, and tries to understand how that could be impacting foreign affairs and international relations. So Kai-Fu Lee is he's kind of been in the AI game for decades. So he was a researcher and a thinker on this well before it was a sexy topic. And he's also been a real fixture in the venture capitalist scene inside China as they really ramp up their AI investment. And the book starts out, its starting point's really around 2016, which was when a AI machine built by DeepMind, a British AI company, managed to beat the world champion at Go, a Chinese game of strategy. And in the West, most of us, unless we were AI researchers, probably didn't notice this. But Kai-Fu Lee explains that it was actually a Sputnik moment for Chinese industry, for government officials, and for people across a broad sector of the community, because suddenly they realised that AI technology is incredibly powerful, and if it can beat someone at Go, I think there are more possible moves in Go than there are atoms in the known universe. then this is powerful stuff. So the book then charts how, and this is another interesting thing, right? It charts how corporates and entrepreneurs and investors on the ground in China in industry, as well as government officials, started to really ramp up their focus on AI. So it's, we often kind of think that all of this stuff happens inside government. It doesn't. It's more complicated than that. But
and the book is accessible. It's not, because I think a lot of us think, oh, AI.
That's the other reason I love it. So I'm not a technologist. It really unpacks what is this artificial intelligence thing? How does it work? In really accessible kind of lay people's language. And then also tells us a little bit about, if you understand the principles of the technology, how that might affect world affairs.
Gorgeously tempting, I don't think. Okay, let's move on. You're about to also introduce us to FICINT. Now, what is it first before we hear a good suggestion?
So I guess in the national security policy world, we have lots of different types of intelligence. We might talk about SIGINT, signals intelligence, or HUMINT, human intelligence. And as a bit of a joke from time to time, we might talk about FICINT, which is fictional intelligence. And the idea is that science fiction is actually a really important and useful way for policymakers and researchers thinking about national security and foreign affairs to see the future a bit. I don't mean to predict the future, but to think about plausible future scenarios, and through the power of fiction and storytelling, to then start to imagine what future worlds are like and how we could maybe get there if they're good worlds, or avoid them if they're dystopian.
And you have a thick int title to recommend, Zero Day Code, by the Brisbane writer John Birmingham.
That's right. So John Birmingham of kind of He Died With a Falafel in His Hand fame has written a science fiction book for it's a mass audience kind of dystopian sci-fi book. But it's generating a bit of interest from people like me who are also interested in foreign affairs and national security because it's set in a near dystopian future where a bunch of trends that are really quite important now are playing out. So climate insecurity, the world's getting hotter, food security is more uncertain, and also the entire premise of the book is a massive cyber attack between China and the US turns out to be targeted at food distribution networks.
Catherine and Brian, thank you very much indeed for being our inaugural guests.
Absolute pleasure.
And Catherine Manstead is from the ANU's Crawford School of Public Policy. Brian Toohey, of course, the author of The Secret, that's just out now. And my suggestion would be, again, to refer back to that Benedict Cumberbatch starring as Dominic Cummings in the BBC's Brexit, The Uncivil War, which went to air earlier this year. Gee, it was absolutely fantastic. But it wasn't on free-to-air, so I think a lot of people missed it. But I commend it. I don't know how they got it up quite as fast as they did, the BBC, because it's a very well-written drama.